You're listening to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. Only 1% of wine businesses in the U.S. are Black-owned, according to the Association of African American Vintners. T.J. Douglas owns one of them, and it's also one of the top wine businesses in the country. The South End's Urban Grape was the 2021 U.S. Small Business of the Year, and it regularly makes shortlists of best-in-class across the country. T.J. Douglas opened Urban Grape in the South End with his wife Hadley in 2012. As a Black worker in the hospitality industry, he saw the wine world as elitist, and together they set out to do something different, and it has worked. Their drink progressively approach to demystifying and diversifying wine just allowed them to open a second location in January in Washington, D.C., and TJ joins us now to talk about all of it. Hey there, TJ, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. Excited to be here.
It's very good to have you here. You hearing me okay in your headphones?
I am.
Okay, great. So listen, I'm excited to talk about so much about your business, how you started it, how we've gotten here. You brought us a wine to taste. But let's go back to why you decided to open a wine shop with your wife. I mean, people do all kinds of things. My husband and I go fishing together sometimes. But how do you wind up opening a wine shop?
Yeah, a wine shop was not Hadley's choice of business. I pulled her into my world of wine and hospitality. After years in the restaurant industry and a few years on the distribution side, I just realized that I'm like the only Black guy in Boston in wine at the time, or one of two, actually. And I really wanted to make the wine world more accessible to myself. And in order for me to do that, I had to build my own table in the form of a wine shop. And so our first wine shop called the Urban Grape was in, which is now The Street in Chestnut Hill. We did that in 2010.
So this is part of what's interesting to me is rather than bend yourself to a centuries-old industry by learning the different, and I don't even know the words here, right? You know, the different types of grape and the different vintages and what year is good, et cetera, you actually bent the industry to you. You literally rewrote how people could encounter, engage with wines with this drink progressively scale of 1 to 10, which is kind of a bold move. What A, made you do it, and B, gave you the confidence that you could rewrite an entire industry, you know, in Boston?
Well, the way that you said that, it sounds so awesome.
It's what you did, TJ.
You know, and, you know, all the things that you mentioned, the varietals, the grapes, the places, the vintages. I mean, think about it from a consumer, right? The wine industry is a very scary place.
Yes, it is.
And that is a luxury. We don't have to drink wine, right? But if you are in hospitality and you find yourself as a bar manager for a Todd English restaurant with only a wine and beer list, and you need to make rent, you need to figure out a way how to make rent. And how am I going to learn something that, as you mentioned, is a centuries-old industry, which really touches so many other industries, you know, in this world? I had to figure out how I can learn it myself. And I read this book called Windows on the World, which was the restaurant on the top of the World Trade Center that went down on 9/11. And after trying to memorize, right, because there's learning and there's actually memorization. And a lot of the wine world is memorization. What is a good vintage? Not learning why it's a good vintage, but what's learning, like memorizing it. And there was this book, Windows on the World, where Kevin Zarelli wrote it on this scale of skim milk to whole milk to heavy cream, mm-hmm. and then also lemonade for acidity and hot chocolate for acidity. And I saw this and I'm like, wow, this is so simple. I understand it because it made me learn the why and the how, as opposed to just memorizing a place that I've never heard of,
right,
in a country that I've never been to, from a grape that I can't pronounce.
So that is so helpful. So, okay, I thought I only liked a couple of types of wine basically from California. Mm-hmm. But when you say it to me that way, what I'll tell you is I want hot chocolate made with cream.
Right.
Right? So on your drink progressively,
yeah, on our progressive scale,
I want a 10,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's a 9 or a 10.
Okay.
So a 1 is going to be this light-bodied, think about viscosity of milk, mm-hmm. Like skim milk, very light and watery refreshing, and then very refreshing acidity, mm-hmm. like lemonade. And the opposite side of that is this big, heavy, yummy juicy, jammy style of wine, whether it's white or it's red.
And wait, you know what? There are whites in that 9 to 10?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, a lot of a lot of hot climate, say Chardonnay or Rhone varietals. If you've ever had a Cote de Rhone or Châteauneuf-du-Pape Blanc, they handle heat very well. And when they handle heat very well, they typically have higher alcohol levels. And higher alcohol levels allow more manipulation or makeup on the wine. And that makeup gives it that body.
All right. So you set this thing up, right? Obviously, I find it a revelation. Who starts coming into your shop that isn't the person that usually buys wine? Because that's part of the goal, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's not people that don't usually buy wine. It's people. We're trying to reach a new clientele, right? We still have the people that drink all the time, right? Like I'm one of those. And, you know, we have people that only drink Burgundy, and they only drink Burgundy from this region, or they only drink Napa Valley. We have all of them, right? But because of our scale, we help take the intimidation out of wine. It allows a younger clientele, 21, of course, but a younger clientele to come in and try something based on a scale of 1 to 10, right? And then low price on the bottom shelf and high price on the top shelf, just like a bar. But it also, and I think more importantly, gets the underrepresented consumer that aren't consumers yet, right? So what we've seen really since we started the Urban Grape in 2010, we've seen a clientele come in that the wine industry is not typically marketed to, right? A lot of brown and black, a lot of LGBTQ+, right? And so we've been able to create a physical space where they just feel welcomed, right? And that brings me back to my hospitality, right? Like whether you're having dinner at my home or you're coming into a restaurant that I ran, I want you to feel welcomed and feel happy and not overusing the word safe, but a safe place to explore.
TJ Douglas co-founded the Urban Grape with his wife, Hadley, and is founder of the beverage group Drink Progressively. There's this other transformation that you're beginning to make. So you talked with WBUR's Hadley did as well, Andrea Shea, in August of 2020. Mm. And there's a little bit of a story that Hadley told that I want to play here.
A couple came in and TJ kept trying to go over and help them. They were looking for something very specific and they kept brushing TJ off and talking to our inventory manager.
The manager was white and Hadley is white. Her business and life partner, who's like a walking wine encyclopedia, is black. She asked him how often that happens.
He said, pretty much every day.
That's the other side of this transformation. You know, I said at the top, TJ, only 1% of wine businesses in the U.S. are black owned. Uh-huh. And you are transforming wine and you are a black owned wine business, right?
Right.
And I want to be respectful and put it in that order. But you're doing all of that transformation.
Yeah.
Is that also part of the point?
It absolutely is. And thank you for putting it that way because, you know, I want to make it very clear that I am a black man who owns a wine business, but I don't want to be the best black wine business. I want to be the best wine business, right? And me being black and the way that I think in my upbringing with, you know, we're in an interracial family. My wife is white. My kids are biracial. I'm biracial. Identify as black. My mother's gay, right? Like there's all of these pieces that make me who I am. And I think we try to put that out there. And so people that can see themselves represented in a person like me, they want to support that, right? And being in the wine industry, being able to have that support, it allows more people to feel back to hospitality welcomed to this. You know, like it was a really tough time in 2020 because there's so much focus on me being a black business owner as opposed to me being a business owner. And I got really tired of it. I'm like, can we just talk about wine? You know, and then it got into it. I'm like, you know what? Here's an opportunity for me to lean in and lead by example And you know, what was crazy is that that 1% of Black-owned businesses and a lot of brown and Black people in the wine industry that didn't know that I existed and I didn't know they existed, we all ended up on these lists in 2020.
Post-George Floyd,
exactly.
As people began to better examine structural racism in America,
exactly.
We were having different conversations.
Exactly. So there was a spotlight on our race, right? And what it allowed us to do is build a network that we didn't know that we had. And so moving forward, I've been able to mentor some Black-owned businesses, people that wanted to start businesses, people that just want to have a conversation like, how'd you do it? And I'm like, I don't know how I've done it. You know, I've surrounded myself with amazing people. You know, Hadley, as I mentioned from your first question, you know, she was home on maternity leave with our second child. And I said, hey, you know what? I want to, you know, build a store where I can build community through beverage, which is my platform. And I want to put it on this, you know, crazy scale of light body to full bodied. And can you help me write a business plan? And I think over the years, she's tried to quit so many times, you know, but like this is her business too. And she absolutely crushes it. And, you know, someone like her allows me to be more accessible, especially as a leader in this industry.
Okay. So here's what we're going to do. You're going to pour a little wine that you brought. And in a minute, you're going to tell me the story. And in the meantime, we're going to bring Hadley's voice back into this. This is Hadley talking to the Boston Globe's Janelle Nanos in 2021 about balancing the personal and the professional.
It is a balancing act. I think that we were not very good at it necessarily when we first started. When we had little babies and a brand new store, it was very hard. And I think that there is maybe this common Boston myth about us that, like, you know, it's TJ and Hadley are all roses all the time. We work hard on our business and on our marriage and on being parents and being good parents and being good to each other. It takes a lot of work.
So we missed you popping the cork, which always sounds great on radio, but I wanted to get Hadley's voice in there. So now tell us, you brought this wine, and this is a meaningful wine to
This is a meaningful wine, and as my journey has evolved over the 25-plus years that I've been in hospitality and wine, I said I never wanted to be a winemaker, right? And I don't want to get my hands dirty. I'd rather talk about the story and tell the story to the most important person, which is the consumer. And in 2020, Hadley and I were able to fulfill a dream of creating the Urban Grape Wine Studies Award for Students of Color, which is actually an endowment held at Boston University.
Who owns the license for WBUR.
Exactly. And so when Hadley and I were out there trying to figure out how our cohorts could live in California for a few months, we wanted to create another brand, and you know, Urban Grape's a brand, but we wanted to create another brand to help support the students on their journey out in California, and we're able to do that with Progressive Wine Company. So our students, we have a professional winemaker. We have our students go out and work with them for a little bit, understand harvesting, marketing, production, and then a dollar from every bottle goes back into the program. So, like this vintage, this 2023 vintage, we'll put about $30,000 back into you know, helping people of color into this wine industry, this industry that I love so much.
So where is this on the scale?
Yeah,
1
so
to 10?
This, yep, so this is cohort 3. So this is Allie and Lucy's wine that they help make. And this is Sauvignon Blanc, all from the Russian River Valley, from one of the few Mexican-American-owned vineyards, Gamino Vineyards. And this is a 2 on our scale. So when you drink this Sauvignon Blanc on the very front palate, the palate's just your mouth, right? Mm-hmm. Very front of it, it's going to be light like skim milk. And then and after that liquid goes away, you're going to feel the acidity. It's very, very bright, like lemonade, right? And so I love the tropicalness of this style of Sauvignon Blanc.
It tastes like sunshine.
It's crushable, and it tastes like sunshine.
It does. I mean, it's lemony, and it is light. It's bright. It's tart, right? Mm-hmm. I get the 2.
Yeah.
Right? I totally get the 2 in this versus the 10.
Right.
Right? No cream and hot chocolate, all lemonade and acid and citrus.
Right. I love it.
Yeah.
Great. We're always hiring if this doesn't work out for
Thank
you.
Thank you. So listen, I want to touch on one more thing because this is unique to your situation. You've opened a location in Washington, D.C., and in part you did that because you want to reach a larger audience, and you can't ship outside Massachusetts.
Right.
So talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. So all the post-prohibition alcohol laws are, most of them are state laws, and D.C.'s federal, so kind of flies around that. What this allows us to do is really help the country learn how to drink progressively, right? Our hands are kind of tied here in Massachusetts as it would be in most states. So that's one thing, but also, which is fascinating, because it's a federal area, I'm allowed to bring in, or actually stores are allowed to bring in wines and alcohols that aren't currently represented in the three-tiered system with wholesalers. So what we are, in Boston at least, we're the number one seller of BIPOC-produced and made alcohol beverages in the Northeast, right? By dollars and by depletions. In D.C., I'm able to go and find smaller producers that don't get the look from larger places, whether it's they don't have enough production or their labels don't really work. But if there's an opportunity, if the wine is sound, for me to use my platform and our platform to help build their business. And it's a very like circular way of changing the industry one vintage at a time.
But a little bit, you had to go outside Massachusetts to fill that piece of the dream.
We did.
Yeah. What's the next piece of the dream here in the state?
In this state, next piece of the dream is just to, keep Urban Grape South End, a top wine shop, being able to welcome people, having fun, right? Wine is fun. It shouldn't be intimidating at all. And I think you see, as you mentioned, sunshine in this bottle. This is fun. And it is before 12 o'clock, and you're having even more fun because of that. So we look forward to seeing you in the South End and also in the Shaw District of D.C.
Fantastic. TJ Douglas co-founded the Urban Grape with Hadley and is CEO of the Drink Progressively Group. TJ, thank you.
Thank you for having me.